Thank you to those who are joining live. Thank you to those who are joining online. I want to take the opportunity tonight to look at, there's so many themes in Parshas Noach. I want to actually take a look at the theme of Emunah. And Noach is a Navi who gets the Tzivui and does follow the Tzivui. Unlike Adam, Noach got a mitzvah. He got a mitzvah to build a teva and followed through. He got a mitzvah to... Shalom Aleichem, welcome in, help yourself. Noach got a mitzvah to bring all the animals in, and he did. He's really, he's doing what's expected of him. And Rabbeinu Shlom tells Noach, here we are at the beginning of Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph. I want to take a look at the theme of Emunah through the writings of Yaakov Kametsky and the Chazon Ish. So Yaakov, at the very beginning of Perek Zayin, takes our attention, opens with noticing a subtle detail. Rashi in last week's Parsha and Parsha's Breishas had highlighted the fact that at the beginning we're hearing only about the Shem Elokim. The first Perek of Breishas is all Elokim. Only later do we see Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem. And Rashi already tells us in last week's Parsha that's because the name Elohim reflects the Midas Hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It reflects those times when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting with stricter justice. And the name Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is where we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaRachem, when we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu extending himself. Kindness, extra slack. So the Ramban picks up on this week's Parsha, and Rabbi Yaakov highlights a line from the Ramban and takes it, runs with it. So let's take a look here. The page is marked number one. Kasar Ramban. Yomer Hashem. The Pasuk says, beginning Perek Zayin, Hashem, not Elohim. Hashem says to Noach, Bo ata v'chol banecha beischa el hateva. You and your whole family come into the teva. So Ramban says, Hodio Hashem, ki b'minas harachem yimaleit oso v'ezbeso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling by using the name Hashem rather than Elokim that the Midas HaRachem is in play here. Now, we might look at this pasuk and say, he's telling him, get into the table, the marble is coming, that sounds like Midas HaDin. No. But Noach and his family being saved, the Midas HaRachem. And, says Right. So one level is by saving Noach and by saving all the animals, it's Midas HaRachem for them and it's Midas HaRachem forever after, that humanity will survive, that the animal kingdom will survive. And Ramos lo ata minas harachamim al hakarban. Lehodia oso sheyisha al karban. There's another layer here also, which is the Ribbono shel Olam in sending Noach into the teva and giving him instructions, I need you to go in and take so many animals. He's already setting him up beforehand by telling him the kosher animals you're taking, many more than just the minimal pair, to maintain ecologically, to maintain the species. He's already saying Noach up in advance, a year before he's going to bring these karbanos, take these animals and you're going to be bringing karbanos. So that's a very powerful expression of Midas HaRachem. Sheyisha al karban, Kadosh Baruch Hu, tell him in advance, I'm going to pay attention to your karban. You'll remember from last week's parsha, right? A Kadosh Baruch Hu accepting or not accepting the karban had been a touchy issue with Kayin Evel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell you Noach a year in advance that you're going to be able to bring karbanos afterwards, and that karban, b'schus karbano yikayem ha'olam, that the karbanos will bring after the mabul will keep the world going thereafter. V'lo yikari sa'o b'pnei me'am. Al-kein maskir bo shem ha'micho. That's what we're hearing, shem Hashem. Wow. This is even before he gets into the teva. Midas HaRachem is already in play. So then the Rav Yaakov says, let's take a look, a few psukim in. Going to the next paragraph. Ayin lahalam pasuk hei. Parag zayin pasuk hei. Vayas Noach kol sher tzivahu Hashem. Noach did what Hashem had told him. So Yaakov says, if we're going to be consistent, so there also it's Shem Hashem. It wasn't Elohim. What was Noach doing that he had been mitzuvah with the Shem Hashem? What was he doing that he had been mitzuvah with the Midas HaRachem? So he says, Rashi says, Yas Noach, what was Noach doing? That following commands, Zeb Yasol HaTeva. It's his entry into the Teva. Now, Rabbi Yaakov says, if we're thinking along the lines of that Ramban we just saw, maybe there's another layer as well. Lefi mashi lemedanu lemadnu medivra Ramban, efshish kavana nosef is pasuk zeh. It may not only refer to the fact that Noach entered the Teva, but that he that he brought in all those animals for kabanos. Shehiktish is a kabanos, sheyakriva achar mabul. It's the going in, and it's the preparing to bring kabanos, which was as he points to Gemara beginning of Masechta Zvachim, just the setting aside of animals for kabanos, which, you know, la'achar matan Torah, in a halachic regime, we think of that as being makdish, a carbon, an animal to be a carbon. That's already, the Gemara tells us, hafrashas hakarbanos levada magenes mina yisur. Okay, so Yaakov says, this comment of the Ramban, that there was powerful midas harachamim, in Perek Zayin Pazav, Yomer Hashem lenoach, it's in part because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really telling him before the Mabel, you're going to bring carbonos afterwards, and it's going to have impact. And that's there's a midas harachamim there. So it says maybe we can use that as a tool, number one, to understand Pasuk Hey, what it is that Noach is doing, Vayas Noach. It's the going into the Teva, and it's the preparation that he's making, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, to prepare in advance for the carbonos he's going to bring, and that's an expression of midas harachamim. And then Yaakov says, we're just getting warmed up. He says, this idea that there's midas harachamim that's present in advance, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling to get into the Teva, that's midas harachamim. But more than that is the karbanos and the speaking a year in advance about the karbanos, midas harachamim. He says, Lefiza niftach lanu pesach lahavin mashitamu aharbe b'chal parsha. This concept of the Ramban is a powerful tool to strike at a fundamental core question in this parsha. Lahalam pasuk zayin vayavo Noach mepnei mehamabel. The pasuk says Noach walks into Teva mepnei mehamabel because of the waters. It sounds like the water. He was a last minute guy. The waters are already rising, and he's forced into the Teva. And Rashi says yes. Famous Rashi af Noach miktane amonim. In the bottom of page one, right? He says Noach was a miktane amana. Noach had a small amount of emuna. Mamin ve'ino mamin. He believed and he didn't believe. He was sort of wishy washy. Mamin ve'ino mamin shiavah mabel. He wasn't sure whether or not he believed the mabel would come. V'lo nichnas l'teva atchid dechakuhu amay. That's what Rashi says. That the psukim sound like he only actually enters the teva when the waters are rising so much that he's forced in. Bizarre. So Rashi says, okay, miktaniyam. Apparently, he wasn't really sure. He was agnostic about whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to bring a mab or not. And Yaakov says he's not the first one to raise this question. What does this mean? Lachar tamua harbe miktaniyamana. He wasn't sure if he believed or not. Hello, Kuf Chav Shana Asas Ateva. He spent 120 years building this Teva. And then more than a century of his life on this massive construction project. A construction project we can't begin to imagine the amount of flack that he took from his neighbors who thought he was off his rocker. And then he's going around collecting animals. And food. Heyach nomar shadayin. Moving to the second page. Heyach nomar shadayin lohemen. What does that mean? And then it starts to. What does this mean? Davar tamua. Davar tamua. So Yaakov suggests something very fascinating. Yaakov suggests that maybe Noach. I want to take a look at two different approaches. Take a look at a piece of Rabbi Yaakov's approach, and then I want to cut to see a different perspective that the Chazanish shares. So Yaakov says, what was Rashi's language? Rashi's language was, Mamin ve'eno mamin shiyavu hamabel. It's not that he didn't believe. Of course, this is a man who spoke with God. He was a Navi. And he'd been working on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's project for over a century. Of course he believed. It's not that he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe the Mabel was coming. In other words, B'chol midoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu sh'ra Noach lo ra rak ha'chesed v'hatov. he had never, Noach had always seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness. He had never seen Midas Hadin. So he wasn't really sure. In the back of his mind, it can't actually happen. It could be a marvel. Come on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always cutting more slack. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always cutting more slack. And he figured this was just a way of shaking people up. Build a teva, they'll shake people up. And then even when it started raining, he said, okay, it's raining. It's raining. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to encourage us. And it was all Ahava, no Yira for Noach. And that was the piece that was missing. And Rabbi Yaakov takes it in the next paragraph to suggest, almost like, on the one hand, this is very positive. It's beautiful. He saw the goodness of Ribbono Shalom, and they could imagine that this is really going to happen. Rabbi Yaakov says, there's something else here also. Lamasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a tzivoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, build a teva, he built a teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, go into the teva. He wasn't going in. Why? Because he didn't believe that this is actually going to happen. I don't really need to go into the teva because the marble's not actually coming. So there was an element there that was missing, which was that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a mitzvah, you got to follow through, even if I don't see why I need it. And here we come from Noah, the other man who got stuck at sea, Yonah. Right? Sometimes we don't see why Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, but Kadosh Baruch Hu says, get into the teva, you got to follow through. Maybe it's a choke. Maybe it's a choke. I don't see why it makes sense. That's how it closes. I can't second guess Rav Shalom. The dominant view in Rishonim is that it's valuable to study Tamei HaMitzvos. There's immense value in studying Machshava. There's immense value in trying to understand the why, the ideas behind Tzivui Hashem. But we can't let our performance be predicated on our understanding. I seek to understand as much as I can. I want to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam as much as I can. But I'm not only going to do when it makes sense to me. So that was to the extent Rabbi Yaakov sees a lack in Noach. Well, number one, that he couldn't imagine that there actually would be a Midas HaDin. Everything for him was Shem Hashem. Everything was Midas HaRachman. And in terms of performance, since he couldn't imagine that actually would happen, he didn't feel like he had to actually. Everything else was just to ma'or people to tshuva. So he built the teva to ma'or people to tshuva. And he gathered the animal to ma'or people to tshuva. To actually get into the teva. That's just to save myself. I don't need to save myself. So that second piece that was missing was being able to accept the chok. Okay, I don't understand why this is necessary. But Hashem said, get into the teva. I should get into the teva. So that's the approach of Yaakov. It's sort of like a. He saw Rachem, he didn't see Din, and that he wasn't willing to perform if he didn't see why he should. But I want to take a brief peek at a different perspective, which I think is also very powerful and very practical, and presented very subtly. If you look in the paper sheets, pages 3 and 4 are from the beginning of the second chapter of the Chazon Ish is Emunah B'Tachah. You've had a chance to learn with some of you in the past. A very, very, Chazon Ish wrote a 5.5 prakim of a brief Machshava Sefer. Most of the vast majority of his writing was halachic. And the second parak is one of the shortest and very, very dense, and it's about B'Tachah. And he develops the idea. He raises a question here. Wants to know, why are midos called midos? Why do you call them midos? To be kind, to be good. Good midos, bad midos. Being kind, being patient, being irritated, being angry, whatever it is. Why do you call them midos? A midah is a measurement. A foot is a midah. An ama is a midah. Why do we call patience a midah? Why do we call temper a midah? So I think we probably would have assumed that it was, to use Rabbi Neuberger's turn of phrase, the midos are the measure of a person. And you see, character is the measure, it's the midah, that's how you're modated person. I think that's how we would usually assume. The Chazon Ish is a different take. He says, because lots of things, when you know, if half a car isn't a smaller car. Half of a car is a piece of junk. Half of a bike, half of a watch, half of a pen is just junk. But some things come in larger sizes and smaller sizes. So, you know, I buy a shirt, the midah could be small or medium or large. So the Chazon Ish suggests that what we call midos, midah, what we call midos, you refer to the midos aspects of character, because it's not binary. It's not either I am patient or I'm not patient. Some people are very patient, and some people are sometimes patient. And some people are incredibly patient even when there's very irritating circumstances. And other people are, you know, patient under typical circumstances. But when things get extreme, then I lose it. So the second person isn't totally impatient. He has less patience. The first person has more patience. But it's not binary yes or no. And then he goes on to say, here, let's take a look at the way he says it, and then he slips in a reference to Noah. Midos b'nei Adam, three lines for the bottom of page 3. Midos b'nei Adam is chalafos l'madregos nalo zumizu. Aspects of character, they come in different levels. It's not yes or no, it can be more or less. L'chol ish yasha yesh mi midas anava, midas harachem. Every decent person has some humility. Every decent person has some compassion. Aval ein b'nei Adam mishtavin b'zeh. But not everyone has the same amount. Some people have more and some people have less. There are people who have no compassion, certainly. There are people who have no humility. But he says every decent person has some, but some people have a little bit, more and more and even more. So it's a whole spectrum, and that's why we call it a midah. And then he says very subtly, here we go, Kain midah sa'emuna, same true for the midah of emuna. Emuna, bitachon are also a midah. It's not just you have or you don't have. It's a question of how much. Yesh ba madrega zeh limal mizeh. There's, you can have more, you can have less. Uketane amana gam klei b'chal ma'aminim. Kevan she'enam b'chal kol from v'aminim. There you go. He says, people who have a small amount of emunah, also they're believers, they're not kofrim, they don't deny the Ribbono Shlom. But the Chazon Ish says, emunah, bitachon, the application of emunah to life, which is his definition of bitachon, it's also a midah. Even once you're past the threshold, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe God runs the world. In principle, I believe. So I'm a ma'amin, but I could have more or less. And he goes on to say, how much does my emunah play itself out? Does my emunah only save me from doing the averes that everyone knows are wrong? And say, God wouldn't want me to do this? Or is my emunah stronger and it even will give me self-control in more challenging circumstances? To what extent does my emunah give me a sense of calm in precarious situations? So it's saying, how do I react spiritually, emotionally, physically, when I'm in a position of risk, of precariousness? So it's not yes or no, I am a ma'amin, I'm not a ma'amin. There is a certain threshold. But among ma'aminim, it's a midah. There could be more, there could be less. And that line, ketane amana, is a very obvious, I think, reference to our parasha. The Noach was miketane amana. I think this is the other perspective. How could it be? Noach didn't believe. What do you mean? He was in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He spent 120 years building the table that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to build. So clearly he believed. And the answer is, yeah, of course he did. Not that he didn't believe in God, but how deep-rooted was that belief? It's not always. It's not merely binary. Of course, he believed, but a little bit of belief will work and help me in some circumstances. More belief will help me. Will be able to play, will operate in more circumstances. So he had quite a bit of emunah. He spent over a century, but on building the teva. But still, there was a moment to actually get into the teva that was fascinating. That was even harder. I would have thought to work on the teva, and to endure the backlash from neighbors for over a century, but for Noach, as hard as that he had enough emunah to do that, but his emunah wasn't strong enough to actually walk him into the tape. That I'm really going to walk away from all this? I walk away from civilization? I walk away from life? Even he know HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me this is why I have to. So these are powerful ideas. Noach is miketane amana. So again, according to the Yaakov Kamenetsky, it speaks to recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes comes in Midas HaRachem, sometimes comes in Midas HaDin. Sometimes we can predict what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do, and sometimes we can't. And we have to have the capacity to be able to follow Tzivur Hashem even when we don't see why it's important. And then there's the Chazon Ish's perspective, which is, Baruch Hashem Am Amamin, there's still always room to grow. And some emunah will enable me to work my way through certain situations. More emunah will give me the capacity to deal even with more challenging situations. Shetak b'zochem, to be inspired by Noach, to grow from midah to midah to midah through the different levels of emunah. Rabbosai, thank you so much for joining online and in person.